Doing a series called Maranatha at the Movies. We're going to look at some of the popular movies of today, not to see God in them, but to get a spiritual lesson from them. You know, the producers, the directors, the stars, they don't necessarily intend for their popular movies to have a God focus or a God lesson. But in everything, if they talk about life, God has an answer for it as well. And so we are looking at various movies. Last week we looked at Aladdin. This week we're looking at the movie called Yesterday. It's how to have a fresh start. The main character is Jack, whose dream of being a songwriter and musician are rapidly deteriorating before him. He's in need of a fresh start, and one morning he wakes up and no one has ever heard of the Beatles. They've never heard a song of the Beatles. He Googles Beatles, and the little round thing with legs comes up, but no band, no anything. So he sees an opportunity for a fresh start, and he begins to play Beatles songs as if they were his own, and immediately becomes an international star, a celebrity, if you will, for this wonderful songwriting gift that he's been given. And he gets the fresh starts he wanted, not exactly what he thought it would be, but he gets the fresh start nonetheless. Interesting that the Beatles were really good at engineering their own fresh starts. As admirably, they are one of the greatest rock bands in history. And yet, you know, they were only together for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And in that eight-year time period, they changed who they were. They rebranded themselves several times. During that time, they reinvented themselves over and over again. So I thought we'd have a little fun today. Hopefully, if technology works with us, do a little evolution of the Beatles. And I'm going to play, hopefully, four songs that illustrate some of the fresh starts the Beatles had. For those of you who remember, you may recognize these songs. For those of you who don't even know who the Beatles are, then these are for you as well. But the original fresh start for the Beatles came to the U.S. In 1964 when they landed at JFK Airport. They were straight-laced suits, and they were clean-cut gentlemen, and all they wanted to do was hold your hand. So that was your evolution of the Beatles over an eight-year period, if you will. The movie has Beatles music in it, but it's really, the movie's about getting a fresh start. The truth is, we all need fresh starts from time to time. When our lives aren't going as planned, when our relationships, our marriage goes off the rail, or our career or our job hits a dead end, our health issues or accidents will change our lives in the course of our lives, or life is stagnant. We feel stuck and frustrated with our life. The desire for fresh starts usually come at three different critical points in our lives. Number one, if we've committed a sin or fallen away from God, we've messed up and we feel distant from God, we need a fresh start. Two, we've failed. Maybe our career, our relationship, we gave it our best shot, but it didn't work. It appears the dream that we had is dead, and you don't know what to do. You need a fresh start. And thirdly, when life gets stagnant, you stop moving forward, you stop going backward, you find yourself just surviving each day. Is there nothing more to life than this? If that's the case, we need a fresh start. Wherever you find yourself today, here's the good news. God is a God of fresh starts. He loves giving us fresh starts. In fact, there's a verse in Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, actually. It says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." Regardless of where you are in life, God's will is to give you a new future. If you stay with Him, you can have a fresh start. You can have a new thing. Regardless of your past mistakes, failures, or your misdirections, God's process for experiencing a fresh start remains the same. Either you need a fresh start this morning. Maybe there's something going on in your life where you need that fresh start. Or you know a friend or a family member who needs that fresh start as well. Or, and I can guarantee you this, sometime in the future, you will be needing that very time when you recognize that you need a fresh start. And so we're going to go through the Bible looking for steps on how to obtain this fresh new start, if you will. The first step is to ask God for another chance. See, God wants to give you a fresh start, but you have to ask Him for it. Why is it so hard for us to ask God for a fresh start? Well, firstly, it's an admission that we've made a mistake, that we've failed along the way in some fashion. We don't like to admit it, plus we'll have to make changes if we're going to get it better. We don't like doing that either. So it humbles us and makes us not willing to ask God. Or our guilt or regret. We're so busy beating ourselves up over the past mistakes in our lives, we miss out on the opportunities for fresh starts that God is giving us. As long as you're alive, you are going to make mistakes, but God will give you a second chance. I think it's odd that for people we love, people we care for, we're willing to give a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, if you will. But we think God would never do that for us. The great thing about God is his second chances never end. We are constantly making mistakes, and God is constantly forgiving us and accepting us back when we ask him to. No matter how many times we fail him, no matter how many ways we fail him and how we find ourselves, he's willing to give us a fresh start every time. Some of you hearing me right now, you may have think you've run out of chances. You've messed up so much, it's over. There's no way. But I like what's written in Lamentations 3, verse 23. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. That is so cool. It means that every morning you can have a fresh new start to your life if you live for him. Some of you who do not believe that God will give you another chance, maybe you're saying, I blew it, so I'm going to have to struggle for the rest of my life. Your disbelief in his mercy and his faithfulness is a great barrier to the fresh start that he wants you to have. He's not just a God of second chances or third chances or even fourth chances. He's a God of another chance. No matter how many chances you need to get it right with God, he wants to give you another chance. And how do you do that? Well, first, it's going to start with confession. Proverbs 28:13 says, people who cover over their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and forsake them, they will receive mercy. If you don't confess and admit your sins and forsake them, it isn't going to work. It must happen in that way. Someone has said that the trouble with turning over a new leaf is once you've done it twice, you're back to where you were to begin with. Confess means to agree with, to admit, to acknowledge that you've made mistakes. And to forsake means to give up, to renounce that stuff, to leave it behind and move forward. We often come to God and we get that confession part really down well. God, I messed up. Please forgive me. I need your help and your belief in me. But then we realize things aren't getting any better and we're still stuck. And the reason often is because we left off the forsake part. We don't turn away from our sins. We don't get away from what got us in trouble in the first place. God, I really messed up. I messed up with drugs or relationship or finances, and I shouldn't have. But then we don't do what it takes to not fall again the next time. More drugs, our temper, our jealousy, our selfishness, living beyond our means. We don't want to live this way. I'm leaving it all behind. I'm forsaking the things that got me here. That's what it means to confess and to forsake. If you take any steps today, I would encourage you and hope that you'll take this one. Ask God for another chance, and he'll give you a fresh start. Two, it is to apply the lessons from my past mistakes. You can't ask God for another chance and sit on your hands and wait for him to all come together well. Everyone makes mistakes. True fresh starts come from not making them again. All the spiritual giants we read about in Scripture, every single one of them made some really big mistakes, and they needed fresh starts. If you think of Moses, he parted the Red Sea, and yet he also killed the guy and became a fugitive because of it. David, who slayed Goliath, also committed adultery with a married woman and had her husband killed. Peter, the most outspoken disciple, the one who was always there for Jesus, denied even knowing Jesus three times. And then Paul, who hunted down and killed Christians, and even after he became a Christian, he struggled. In Romans 7:18, he says, I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Is there anybody here who can relate to this? Because I know I can. Every time I think I've got it down, I fall again. And I don't do the things I want to do, and I do the things I wish I would never do. Story of our lives. We want to do better, but again and again, we fall back. You can't be perfect. That's a given. But we can learn from past mistakes and not repeat them. You know, every one of those guys we mentioned earlier made mistakes, but learned from them. And because of that, God was able to give them a gigantic fresh start in life. Moses led his people out of Egypt. David became a man after God's own heart. Peter became the primary leader of the early church, and Paul ended up writing the majority of our New Testament books. They each overcame their big mistakes. How? Because they didn't waste them. You can't let the mistakes of your past continue to beat you down. You need to embrace and learn from them. You need to make your mistakes work for you instead of against you. Don't let them limit you. Don't let them haunt you. You know, we struggle with sin, recurring sins we go back to again and again. And we promise God it won't happen again, but we redo the big mistakes and the cycle continues. So how do we grow from those big mistakes? How do we move from there to a better place? Number one is to evaluate the experience. We need to evaluate our life. You've heard the statement that experience is the best teacher. Well, that's really wrong. Evaluated experience is the best teacher. If you just have experiences and learn nothing from them, then it's taught you nothing. Why did I make that mistake? What caused that to happen? What should I have done differently? What do I have to do to make sure I don't repeat that mistake another time? You know, long ago, a couple of years before I even became a Christian, I discovered that I have a problem with alcohol. I'm an alcoholic. If I touch alcohol, I don't stop, or I didn't anyway. And therefore, 34 years ago, 36, 38 years ago now, I gave up all drinking. Not because the Bible says that drinking is evil. The Bible does say drunkenness is evil. But I knew that I could not stop in just a little bit. And so I needed to cut it off cold turkey, right? And we need to evaluate where we went wrong and how we can stop from going in that same direction again. Every mistake we make has a consequence. If you don't understand how you made the mistake, then you're doomed to make it again. That's a given. Just because you might be living with the consequences of a bad mistake, though, it doesn't mean you have to let it limit your future. Your past does not have to limit your future. That's a big point to remember. Psalm 119. My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. How is suffering possibly good for you? Well, look at that second half. They bring us back to God, where we're supposed to be. So even suffering is a blessing when it's used to bring you back to God. Number three, we need to align with God's purposes. Mistakes allow us to see if we're on the right track with God, to see if maybe we're out of alignment. Have you ever driven a car that was out of alignment? You know, we had one car that we used for driver education with all of our kids. It was often out of alignment because we hit curbs and things like that. But when you drive a car that's out of alignment, you know it, and you just can't control the car. Now, it goes nowhere where you want it to go and everywhere you don't want it to go. And the number one cause of misalignment in a car, you know what it is? It's these. It's potholes. Mm-hmm. Potholes is what causes the alignment to go out in our car, right? And so we need to understand that and work at it. Same for our lives. The mistakes, the sins, the mediocre existence we have are the potholes of our lives. And if we're not careful, when we hit those potholes, they take us out of alignment with God and God's word and his will for our lives. If you're not in alignment with God's purpose in your life, how can you possibly get your fresh start from him? He has a direction for you to go, and he's wanting to give you a fresh start. But if you're not in alignment with his will, you're not going to get there. You're not going to go there. David, going back to him as an example. Remember, he saw Bathsheba, wanted her. Unfortunately, she was a married woman. They had an adulterous affair, and in order to cover it up, David had Uriah killed. Right? The husband was killed. He was way out of alignment with God. He needed a fresh start, most certainly. And he went through the same steps that we're going through right now to get right with God, to be a man after God's own heart. Psalm 51. I encourage you to go back and look at Psalm 51. It's his prayer to God, asking him for another chance, asking for a fresh start. Psalm 51:12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. That's a prayer every single one of us needs to make every single day so that we can stay in alignment with his purposes for our lives. Make me want to obey you. Change my heart and make me want to do your will. Are you willing to pray that prayer? He made you. He knows what's best for you. God loves you. God's will is that you live out his word. You live out the Bible so that you can begin the life he created you to live. In Ephesians 2:10, one of my favorite verses, For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us so long ago. Long before we were in the mother's womb. Long before our mother or my grandmother were in the womb. God had a plan for my life. He knew where he wanted me to go. Unfortunately, I elected to go in a different direction than what God wanted me to do. And that is not good. But God has a purpose. You know, we need to pray David's prayer, change my heart and make me want to do your will in my life. One of the ways that the Bible describes our lives is as a race. To win the race, we need to stay in perfect alignment. The race is filled with potholes that get us off course. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, remember that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You also must run in such a way that you will win. All athletes practice strict self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every single step. If you need a fresh start, then start today and get aligned with God's will. Get aligned with God's will for your work, for your relationships, for your finances, for your ministry, for your family. Get in God's will. It does you no good if God gives you a fresh start and you're going in the wrong direction. So we've looked at several steps. We ask God for another chance. We apply the lessons we've learned from our past mistakes, and we try to align ourselves with God's purposes. And the fourth step is to anticipate there will be challenges and to never, ever give up. It doesn't mean life is going to be perfect. The same challenges from before can rise up and catch you off guard. More accurately, some new challenges will pop up and catch you off guard. Even new ones you hadn't experienced before. Know that they're coming. Don't let them surprise you. And when they do, trust God. Stand firm and don't give up. Those of you may be familiar with Winston Churchill. He was called the Bulldog. He was the Prime Minister of Great Britain. He never gave up, and he was famous for that phrase. What you may not know is that he failed. In 1922, he lost for his political office, and he went back home and stayed out of politics for over a decade. But in 1939, he was one of the only politicians willing to stand up to Adolf Hitler. And he became prime minister at that point and led the nation through some of the darkest times in their history. He said these quotes, "Success is going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm." He also said this, "Never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense." Beginning again is never easy, but never, never, ever give up. Don't give up on that dream that God gave you. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your future. Don't give up on yourself and your life. God hasn't given up on you, and you shouldn't give up on yourself either. Galatians 6:9 says, "So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time." Maybe you're discouraged today from a past sin, or from a recent failure, or just life is stuck. In any sense, you need to do a reset. You need to do a total reset. Now, when I was in the grocery industry many years ago, we would do what's called resets. And there'd be partial resets. You'd maybe do a column or a section just by itself. But a total reset meant the entire aisle, all the product had to be taken off, the shelves were all clean, and then the product was put back on according to a new schematic. You did a complete reset on the entire aisle to make it better, to make it proper. And maybe you're here today and you need a fresh start in the absolute worst way. Maybe what you need is a fresh start with your entire life, to get a total reset, if you will. If you've never gotten right with God, if you've never asked him to be the Lord and Savior of your life, to turn you inside out and change you, that is God's ultimate fresh start for our lives. It's a chance that we need to take. And in fact, I'm going to give those of us a chance like that in a moment. But no matter where you are, no matter the challenges that you face, the challenges you're facing, or the challenges you even will face, God can give you a fresh start, a new beginning. God allows U-turns. God permits and expects and desires for us to make U-turns, new beginnings, fresh starts, no dead ends in life with God. Instead of looking back, we need to look to Jesus and move forward with him. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul tells us in these verses 13 to 14, I am still not all that I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. Focus. We need to focus all of our purpose, all of our life, all of our being on God. Focus all on this one thing. And then he says to forget. In 1954, on May 6, 1954, Roger Bannister was the first man in history to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. Within 2 months, another gentleman, John Landy, eclipsed that record by 1.4 seconds. A few months later, August 7, the two met together for a very historic race, and as they moved into that last lap, Landy held the lead. It looked as if he would win, but as he neared the finish line, he was haunted by that burning question, where is Bannister? And as he looked back, Bannister took the lead and won the race. Landy told the Times Magazine reporter, if I hadn't looked back, I would have won that race. In biblical terminology, to forget doesn't mean to fail to remember. We can't possibly forget the passing of a loved one or a broken relationship or a painful mistake we've made. We can't forget that. We can't be expected to. To forget in the biblical sense means to no longer be influenced by, no longer be affected by that incident in our life. It means that we break the power of the past by living into the future. God isn't interested in your past. He's interested in your future because that's where you're going to spend the rest of your life with him, is in your future. Instead, God says, forget about your past. Forget about the former things. Don't think about it. Look at the new thing I'm going to do. Look at the fresh start I'm going to give you. So we need to focus on these things. We need to forget the past, and we need to press on. In this particular translation is the word strain. And the Greek uses this terminology to describe a hunter who's pursuing his prey for everything he's got. It's the idea of being in a race and seeing the finish line, and you're running hard and seeing it, and you're going with unfailing persistence and reaching forth with all your might just to reach that finish line. That's the pressing on that he's talking about. Remember that story we just talked about Landy and Bannister? Well, in 1956, the championship in Melbourne, Ron Clark and John Landy, there's our friend again who looked back, were shooting for a new world record. In the third lap, another runner tried to squeeze between those two runners and clipped the heel of Ron Clark with his spikes. Landy then tried to leap over the falling body of Clark, but ended up stepping right on Clark's shoulder with his spikes. Just then, Landy stunned the sporting world with his incredible, selfless act of kindness. Forgetting about the world record and the approaching Olympics, he stopped and ran back to help his fallen friend. Now, Clark was okay, and he told Landy, keep going, I'm all right, run, run. So Landy set off to catch the other runners who were at this time over 60 yards ahead of him. As they pressed on, they began passing the field of runners one by one. And on the home stretch, Landy won the Australian championship in 4 minutes and 4 seconds. This time, Landy didn't look back. He kept pressing forward toward the prize with everything he had. And Paul is telling us today, I've put my past sins and failures behind me, and I'm looking ahead to serving God with all my heart. Now I'm pressing towards the finish line. I won't give up till I reach heaven, the finish line. I won't quit. I won't stop. And if I fall, I'll get up and I'll keep going on the race and pressing on. Now we're going to take a moment of prayer to close out the service this morning. But prayer, you know, if you're not used to prayer, if you're not knowing exactly what to, it's just a conversation between you and God where you share what's on your heart and he shares what is on his. And so I would encourage you to say with me this morning, God, I need a fresh start. Remember, in the psalmist said it happens every day. We need to ask for that fresh start every day. We need to apply the lessons from our past mistakes. We need to align with his purposes. And we need to anticipate challenges will come and to never, never, ever give up. If you're here today and you need that ultimate fresh start, the full reset on your life, you can do that right now. It's as simply as praying this prayer with me. God, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. I believe your son Jesus died on the cross for those sins in my place. I confess those sins and I need you to give me a clean heart so that I can forsake them, so I can forget them and leave them behind. And if you prayed that prayer right now, Jesus will give you that fresh start. He'll change your life forever. Father God, We again ask for that fresh start. We love you and thank you for the fresh starts you've given us and the fresh starts you're about to give us. And it's in Jesus' holy, precious name we pray. Amen.